scriptures. And today I want us to look at Judas Iscariot. We look at Paul, Peter, John, different ones, and we a lot of times will look at them and their example and see what we can benefit and what we can learn from their not only their teaching but their example and their life. But Judas is not one of those that we like to do that with. He is one that we despise. He's one that we don't like to even name, really, because of his betrayal of the Lord. And so we don't want to look at him. And I don't think we do many lessons on him. But today I want us to look at Judas. I want us to look at his beginning in Jesus' ministry. He had a very good beginning, by the way. And sometimes I think that we kind of overlook that because of his tragic end. But we'll look at his beginning, first of all. And I want us to look at his tragic end, but I want us to look in the middle about what happened to Judas and what made him go bad, what made him change so much. And maybe we can learn through and by his example. The very first thing that we note about Judas is that he had a good beginning. And there were several things about his beginning in the Lord's ministry. There in Matthew chapter 10, we read about Jesus choosing his 12 men who were going to go about with him in his ministry and who were going to proclaim his gospel and going to help him in many different ways, even in a miraculous measure. And Judas was one of these men. In fact, in Luke's account, in Luke chapter 6, Luke tells us that he actually prayed all night long. Jesus prayed all night long concerning this decision that he was about to make in choosing his 12 to be ministers with him. And one that he chose was Judas Iscariot. There was something about Judas. We look at him and despise him, but there was something about Judas that made Jesus want to choose him. And so that is one point about Judas that is very good. We don't know what the Lord saw in him, but he saw something. Another thing is that he was with Jesus on a regular basis. As we read through our New Testament and through Jesus' ministry, we see miracles performed and we see a lot of Jesus' teachings. And sometimes we look at those things and we look at those teachings and we say, wow, I wish I could have been there. You know, I wish I could have heard the Lord teach that. I wish I could have seen the Lord perform that miracle. There's different occasions that we read about in the Bible, such as when the disciples were with Jesus on the Sea of Galilee and a great storm arose and Jesus is there sleeping. He's not worried about anything and his disciples are beside themselves and they are waking him up and they say, don't you care that we're about to perish and you're just laying here sleeping? And Jesus speaks the storm still. Peace be still. And the storm goes away just like that. Judas was there. As they were out on the water fishing and Jesus comes walking up on the water on one occasion and they think it's a ghost, don't know what it is, because after all, they've never seen a man walk on water. And Peter, you remember, Peter wants to get out and walk to Jesus. Judas was there on that occasion. Judas was there as they went from town to town and city to city and Jesus did all kinds of miracles. In fact, in John chapter 21 at the end of that, he talks about how there were so many signs, so many miracles that were done that if they were all wrote down, that the world could not even contain the books. There were so many wonderful things and signs and miracles and healings that the Lord did that was just outstanding and amazing, and Judas was there. Judas witnessed that. Judas was a part of that ministry. You know, sometimes we think about if we only had an opportunity to sit with someone and dine with someone who is well-known, who is popular, who is famous, maybe like the president, if we could just dine with him and be able to ask him questions. Judas was one who was there with Jesus day in and day out. He sat there with the Lord, he ate with him, and I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see what all went on and to hear what all was said. And Judas was one who was there with him. He sat at the feet of Jesus and heard not only those great teachings, by the way, in Matthew 5 and Luke 6, we read about the Sermon on the Mount. Just an outstanding sermon. And we look at that and we say, wow, that is amazing. And it was just revolutionary that day and even today. Judas was there. Judas was there sitting at the feet of the Lord, learning day in and day out from the Lord. And so he was there, he was privileged and blessed in many ways. One, that he was chosen by the Lord, and secondly, he was with him on a regular basis. But another reason that he was blessed was that he was entrusted by Jesus to do certain things. One thing that he was entrusted with is his word. There in Matthew chapter 10, we see what we call the limited commission. In Matthew 28, we read about the great commission that we are to all as his disciples to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But in Matthew chapter 10, we call that the limited commission because it was limited to only the 12 apostles. And there Jesus sends them out. And he even says that if you get captured, or if they take you, basically if they arrest you, then don't worry about what you're going to say, because it's going to be given to you, because it's not your words, but it's the Father's words. And so Judas Iscariot had the word of the Lord in a miraculous measure, in a miraculous way. We see there in John chapter 12 that he was entrusted, of course, as the treasurer of Jesus and his disciples. And we'll talk more about that later, but what a responsibility. I think Bill would agree with that. What a responsibility and also a privilege to be able to be the treasurer for Jesus and for his disciples in his ministry. And like I said, we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. But one thing that, I don't know why I hadn't thought about this before, but one thing that I just completely overlooked is that Judas actually had the power to perform miracles himself. There in the limited commission in Matthew 10 and verse 1, when Jesus is sending out his 12, and there he talks about how he has given them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and also to heal all kinds of sickness and disease. And so these 12, no other, but these 12 had this power, this miraculous power to be able to do these miracles and to heal people. And Judas was one of these. And so we see here that Judas had a very, very good beginning, a very promising future, and a wonderful beginning. And the fact that he was chosen by Jesus Christ, there was something about him that made Jesus choose him. He was with Jesus and saw all the miracles, heard all the teachings, not just those that were public, but also those that were private. And also he had miraculous power and had the Word of God in a miraculous way. And so he had a great beginning. And we too have a very good beginning when we obeyed the gospel. If you can remember back, if you have obeyed the gospel back when you first became a Christian and you decided to give your life to the Lord and you were buried in the watery grave of baptism to die to yourself, as Paul puts it in Romans chapter 6, and to rise up to walk, as he says there in Romans 6, 3 and 4, in newness of life. And we were excited about that. You can remember that, how excited that you were forgiven of your sin. And so we had a wonderful beginning, but time goes on. And as time goes on, sometimes things happen in our lives. Difficulties come up. Temptations are there. And sometimes we get separated. We separate ourselves from God, and we get a little bit further from Him than what we need to be. As did Judas. Judas started out well, but we will see here just in a little bit how he slowly separated himself from the Lord. Jesus did not separate himself from him. This is what I want to look at. What happened in the middle? We know about his beginning. We can read, and we just looked at several points there. Excuse me. We know about his tragic end. We know about the betrayal. We know about his death, as David read just a moment ago. But what happened? You know, what happened? What happened to this man that started out so well and was there with Jesus and had this power and believed in Jesus? He knew who Jesus was. What would cause this man to give up what he had in the Lord and to change the way that he did? So I want to encourage you to turn to John chapter 13, and that's what we're going to do for a few moments. We're going to look at what changed Judas, how he made this transformation in his decline. And I want to note that this is something that was very subtle. This is not something that was sudden. It was not just one act or one thing that stood out that changed Judas, but it was something that was of a subtle nature. If you look at John chapter 13, starting there at verse 2, this is the Passover meal. that Jesus is about to eat with his disciples, and he's about to institute the Lord's Supper. And this is the same occasion that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. This is the same occasion that Jesus is going to point out the fact that one of his own is going to betray him. And so that is the context that we're looking at here. And so here are Jesus and all 12 of his apostles sitting around supper. And in verse 2, look at what it says. During supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. The first thing that we see that happened to Judas is that he allowed Satan into his heart. Now, I want to read the 20th century New Testament. I like the way that it puts it because it's a little bit closer to the original meaning. It says, having already put the thought of betraying Jesus into his heart. Because we're not talking about a possession here. We're not talking about how that Satan entered into Judas and that Judas had no control about what he was doing. He did. But that he allowed him into his heart. And this is the challenge that we all have today. Day in and day out, we all have the challenge of keeping our hearts pure and undefiled and away from sin. This is the plea that David pleaded with the Lord in Psalm 51 and verse 10 after the sin with Bathsheba and that great sin. And he pleads with him, create in me a pure heart, O God, in Psalm 51 and verse 10. David knew what happened on the balcony. David realized that finally, after all was said and done, David realized that everything that had happened was a result of him allowing Satan into his heart and allowing sin into his life. And that was a result of that. And that's something that we must realize ourselves. When sin is creeping into our life, it is because we are allowing Satan into our heart. And so we must keep a pure heart. What changed his heart, though? Look at John 12, starting with verse 4. John 12, verse 4. What changed the heart of Judas? This is the time where Jesus and his disciples go to Bethany, and they are eating with Lazarus. And Mary, you remember this, Mary takes some very expensive perfume and she puts it all over Jesus' feet and she washes his feet with her hair. And look at what Judas says concerning this. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples who was intending to betray him, said, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor people? Now he said this, not because he was concerned about the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to pilfer what was put in it. So the first thing that we see about Judas is that he became a hypocrite. Now Judas, in his physical appearance, was the same way. And his friends and his brethren could look at him and say, that's Judas. Nothing had changed. However, he had changed from the inside. And we know that if our heart changes, we know that sooner or later that comes out in our actions. And we see this in Judas's life. But he had changed on the inside. There in Matthew chapter 7, we see Jesus talking about the speck and the plank. Talking about the man who looks at the speck in his brother's eye, the sin in his life, and forgets or ignores the plank in his own eye, or the sin, the greater sin that's in his life. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus paints a picture of hypocrisy. And he's talking there about the scribes and the Pharisees. And he's talking about what a hypocrite is. And he goes on to talk about a cup that is cleansed on the outside and beautiful, clean on the outside, but is very dirty on the inside. And he goes on to talk about a tomb. And no, that's not a tomb. I couldn't find a picture of a tomb. But he talks about a tomb. And he says that a tomb can be a beautiful whitewashed tomb. In other words, it's cleaned up, it's pretty, and we've all been to a cemetery and we've seen stones that are very decorative there at grave sites, at grave plots, and sometimes the engraving is very well done and very creative, and there's a lot of good stonework there. And we can see a lot of times there's flowers that the family and loved ones have placed around the grave. And so it can be very pretty, but on the inside, and even the casket itself can be very pretty, but on the inside, there's death, there's rot, there's decay, there's stench, there's filth on the inside. And so that's what Jesus is likening a hypocrite to, someone who puts on a mask, someone who puts on the appearance of religion that says and acts one way, but inside they're completely different. And that's what was happening to Judas. On the inside he was corrupt, but to everyone else he was the same Judas. And that is something that we must beware of ourselves and make sure that we're not wearing a mask. Another thing that happened to Judas in his decline is that he forfeited his integrity. Look back at verse 6. Of course, talking about the money, talking about how this expensive perfume could have been sold and given to the poor. Of course, he didn't care about that. And it says, verse 6, now he said this not because he was concerned about the poor, but he was a thief. And he had the money box, and he used to pilfer what was taken out of it. And so he was not an honest man. He was a thief. Judas was one that everyone depended on, that everyone counted on, that they could believe in. After all, he was the treasurer. And so you're not going to trust, you're not going to put someone in charge of your money that you don't trust. This was someone that all the disciples came to and handed their money to that they earned or for whatever for the ministry, and Judas was the one to keep that. And this says that Judas would take out of that. One thing we see here is that Judas sacrificed his integrity for money. Now that's something we see today. We sacrifice our integrity for a lot of different things, but it all pretty much boils down to material things and money. That's what it boils down to. And that's exactly what Judas did. I want you to look at some of these scriptures that's on the screen. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. Here a question is asked concerning who is going to be in the presence of God. It says, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? In other words, who can be in your presence? And the answer is given, he who walks uprightly, or one translation says, with integrity, and works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. Who can be in the presence of God? I hope that we all want that and have that desire, but only those who walk in integrity can. Psalm 26 and verse 1, David says, vindicate me, or in other words, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. David could say that because he had made the decision that he would walk in integrity in his life. And so how many of us can say that? How many of us can honestly say, God, look at everything in my life, because I am a man of integrity? Psalm 20 and verse 7 says, the righteous man walks in his integrity. Psalm 101 verse 2, look at this one. I want to draw your attention to this. Psalm 101 verse 2, he says, I will give heed to the blameless way. When will you come to me? I will walk within my house in the integrity of my heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. And so he's saying, even in my house, when nobody else is there, when no one else can see what I do, I'm going to walk in integrity. In other words, I'm not going to watch anything that I don't need to watch. I'm not going to look at anything that I have no business looking at. I'm not going to behave in a way that would be disgraceful to the Lord, even in my own house. That's integrity, and that's what he's talking about here. This is something that Judas gave up for the love of money. But something else that we see about Judas in his downward spiral is that he was disloyal. Of course, this was what we despise him for so much. There in Matthew chapter 26, 14 and 15, says, one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, what are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you? And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time he sought the opportunity to betray the Lord. I've got on the board there Proverbs 20 and verse 6. It says, most men will proclaim each his own loyalty. See, we don't have a problem doing that. We don't have a problem saying, I will be faithful to the Lord, or I will do this for his church, or that for his church. We don't have a problem with that. What we have a problem doing is carrying it out. And that's what this passage is talking about. Most men will proclaim each his own loyalty, but who can find a faithful man? It's easy to talk the talk. But Judas was disloyal when it came right down to it. Now, how many of us are disloyal to the Lord? And in what way are we disloyal to the Lord? In Matthew chapter 26, we finally are coming to his tragic end. and something that we know very well. Matthew 26, Jesus and his disciples go to the garden called Gethsemane, and he takes with him Peter, James, and John, and he goes a little bit further, and he says, wait here while I go pray over there, and he goes a little bit further, and it says that he fell on his face. And his prayer there is, if it be any way possible, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way, let us do this some other way. But then he comes back to his disciples, and they're what? They're sleeping. They're sleeping. He says, what, can you not wait one single hour? He said, watch and wait. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so he goes back into this prayer. He goes back into this, and he knows what Luke describes his sweat as great drops of blood. He knows what's about to happen, and so he's in great distress, and he's praying to the Lord about this, and he comes back to his disciples a second time, and they're sleeping again. And he goes back a third time into this prayer, and when he comes back, they're sleeping a third time, and he awakens them and says, look, my betrayer is at hand. And in the text there, we read that there is a mob, is what it calls it. There is a mob of soldiers and of people armed as if he was a criminal, as if Jesus was a criminal. And they have swords and they have clubs, and they come to take Jesus. And who is leading them? One of his own, Judas Iscariot. Of course, Judas had told the soldiers that the man that I kiss, that's the one you want. And so he's coming and he's approaching Jesus and he's about to kiss him. And before he can even do it, Matthew says, or maybe it's Luke, says that Jesus said, have you come to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Can you imagine what Judas was thinking when he said that? And Judas went ahead and he betrayed him. Gave him a kiss and they knew who he was. And they took Jesus and they bound him and they took him off. And they beat him within an inch of his life. And they put him on a cross to kill him. That's what we know Judas. That's how we know him. And we say, how in the world, if that was me, there's no way that I would do that. How in the world can someone who was with him, who was that close to him, who knew who he was, he knew he was the Son of God, he saw the evidence, he saw it every single day. Now, how in the world could he do that? How could he? And maybe the question is, how could I? We look at this man and we say, there's no way that I could ever be like that. Brethren, we betray the Lord in so many ways. How often do I betray the Lord in my speech by letting words slip out that I shouldn't? And we kind of laugh and shrug that off and say, well, I was angry. How often do we betray the Lord in our conduct? How often do we betray the Lord because we're in the company of people that are non-believers? And so we just kind of fade away and act like we're not even a Christian. How often do I betray the Lord because I don't come to worship Him on the first day of the week? How often do I betray the Lord because I'm not there for my brethren? And we say, how in the world could He? How could I? How could I be like that? In Matthew chapter 27, we read about his end, his death. And David read that, but I'll read it again. It says, now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders and the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. Now see, Judas didn't know that this was going to be the end result of his treason. Verse 2, and they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. And then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse. And he returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, but what is this to us? See it to yourself. Verse 5, and he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed, and he went away and hanged himself. See, what Judas felt here, it says, is remorse. What Judas felt here is regret. How many of us this morning in this assembly can identify with that? I believe every one of us. How many of us have been guilty of saying something that we shouldn't have said? How many of us have been guilty of doing or participating in something that we had no business in doing? And we, after the fact, after a little bit, we say, what was I doing? What was I thinking? And we feel so bad about it. That's remorse. That's regret. That's exactly what Judas felt. We see, Judas was not that bad of a guy. He possessed so many good qualities. And after everything was said and done, he felt bad. He felt horrible for what he had done. But the thing is, his regret led him to suicide. The question for us, and something that we can learn from this, is where does my remorse and my regret lead me? It's very common for us to feel guilty about our sin, and we've messed up and we say or do something that we shouldn't have, and we feel bad about it. And the thing is, after a little bit of time, we kind of forget about that and we really don't do anything about it. John says in Luke chapter 3 that we need to produce fruit worthy of repentance. What are you saying, John? What does he mean by that? He's saying, don't just let it change your heart, change your life. And that's the lesson we can learn from Judas. Judas changed his heart. Judas felt horrible about what he had done. But the problem is, he killed himself. Judas could have done something completely different. Judas could have asked for forgiveness. Judas could have been a Christian in the New Testament church and could have served the Lord. But instead, what did he do? Instead, he killed himself. Now, in what ways am I like Judas? In any way? We don't like to think about in what ways. We've talked about some of these ways. In all of us at some point in our life have been hypocritical. All of us have put on a mask and have acted the Christian part, and inside our heart was not right. Every single one of us at some point in our life have sacrificed our integrity for money or for something else. And every single one of us at some point in our life have been disloyal to the Lord. But the question is, what have I done about it? We've done things that were shameful, we've done things that were sinful, and we feel horrible about it. What have we done about it? And that's the question for us this morning. What have I done with the sin that is in my life? That is the lesson that we can learn from Judas Iscariot. Judas was a great man, but Judas' life ended in tragedy because he did not know what to do with his sin. And he let remorse and regret lead him to a tragic end. Where does your regret and your remorse and your godly sorrow lead you? Paul says,